So Green New Deal, version one.
Green New Deal, or didn't we say we're going to talk about environmental and social justice?
No, I thought we were going to talk about Green New Deal.
There was a long discussion that we had where we said, well, actually, aren't Green New Deals also about social justice and environmental justice? And that's what...
Yeah, so we were going to talk about Green New Deals.
I think we decided we're going to talk about environmental...
Because it would involve everything.
Exactly. So, environmental and social justice involves everything.
Yes. And what are the things that we're looking at? We're looking at the Green New Deals. Good morning and welcome to Dithering on the Edge of Europe, the podcast about what it feels like to be living in the UK on the edge of Europe. Climate catastrophe, epidemic, pandemic, you name it. We're on the edge of it.
So our season will be about Green New Deals, environmental and social justice.
Yeah, okay, we can say that.
Which is a bit of a mouthful.
Exactly. So I thought Green New Deal sounded better, but if anybody wants to let us know which they prefer, that would be wonderful.
How about we stick with Green New Deals then?
Oh, thank you. That's amazing. After all that discussion we had beforehand.
I am Carola Böhm, European, German wife, mother, academic, and living now in a socially distanced world here in the UK.
And I am Rich McCarthy. I'm European, I'm English, and I'm an ex-teacher, and ex-lots of other little bitty jobs here and there as well. So that's us. Why is it that we're doing this season on Green New Deals, in brackets, environmental and social justice?
I don't know why.
Well, what we've got written down in our notes is it's because of...
I think we said it. We need to move into a green and sustainable economy. We need to move into a more sustainable society. If we want to keep living on this planet, you know, the planet will survive. It's just a question if the human species will survive. How is our society, our economy be structured in the future that is much more sustainable than it is now?
Yeah. And the UK in particular has a lot of responsibility for the mess that we're in at the moment. So we ought to try and have some responsibility for getting us out of it as well.
Yeah, I want to say good luck with that, you know, because it doesn't look very rosy at the moment. Because, you know, we're living at the moment through a period which is just unprecedented. Although, you know, gosh, how many times can you say that word?
But how long have I got?
But Green New Deals become even more important because as we move out of lockdown, we want to actually reboot the economy and reboot our social activities and our society in such a way that it's sustainable in the future. Green New Deals, from where I'm standing, will always have to be about social justice, environmental as well as social
and
justice.
And I think I'm absolutely sure that we'll have there will be Green New Deals that don't have social justice.
Yeah.
So I think they are different things. They should have the same, have social justice should be incorporated in a Green New Deal because that's the whole point, really. But I bet there'll be ways that people will find of doing something like a Green New Deal without having proper social justice. We know that loads of people are not going to have jobs, unfortunately, in the near future. And, for example, the airline industry, you know, there's nothing really keeping the airline industry going.
So there are jobs, they're just not in carbon-heavy
like,
industries,
yeah,
you know.
Absolutely.
So it's not as if there are less jobs. There are enough jobs that we need to be doing. They are just part of a sustainable green economy.
Absolutely. Now, if we're going to change things, now is the time to do it. We really need to shift the paradigm. We've got to change the way that we do things in order to save our version of the planet, i.e. the one which will support 7 billion human beings.
Yeah. And so what we're going to do in the next episode is, I mean, today we're going to do a bit of a few of the whole issues about Green New Deals and where they came from and which ones were there and how they are connected with various political parties. But then over the next season, we might actually pick out some specific Green New Deals, for instance, also including the European Green New Deal that we already chatted about a bit in the last series.
And not maybe, we are. That's what we're doing.
That's what we're doing.
That's just a hint, everybody. That is what we're doing.
So to start us off, I do want to quote Friedman, the Thomas Friedman, who's the, you know, the Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist who is positioned as putting forward the term for the first time. So in 2007, he wrote an article in the New York Times.
And the New York Times magazine.
But I just want to quote him because, you know, he wrote that article in 2007. In 2019, he actually reflected back on that. But in the first article, he actually said, "Let 100 Green New Deals ideas bloom. Let's see what sticks and what falls by the wayside." And I think, you know, that's what we want to be doing in this series, that we're going to pick out aspects of different kinds of Green New Deals, because of course a Green New Deal is not like another Green New Deal. It's like wine. Some Green New Deals are superb and others are
a bit cheap and nasty.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, somebody said that the only ideas that get taken up in a crisis are the ones which are lying there. You know, if you don't have the idea out there already, then it's not going to get taken up by anybody.
Exactly.
So that's why he was saying, let there be 100 new Green New Deal ideas.
So you also came across Thomas Friedman. I mean, you know of him and his article, because of course he's always being positioned as being the first person to coin it. Well, actually, you know, those ideas have been here for longer. The history of the Green Party is much, much longer. When you then look at the scientific evidence that there's global warming is even older. It's just that it wasn't taken seriously. So in some ways, you know, I kind of thought, okay, so to take the concept of the Green New Deal, which, of course, is already quite progressive, so progressive that in America, the Republicans have called it a socialist manifesto.
Some of them have backed it.
You know, in some ways, it was a great branding exercise because Labour could buy into it, the Democrats in the US could buy into it. You know, the European Union, which has also been relatively conservative and for, you know, for a period in time, quite neoliberal in its ideologies, could buy into a Green New Deal because it wasn't coined as coming out of Green Party politics. But of course, as we will see, actually, it's attached quite often to policies put forward in the manifestos of the Green parties.
Mm-hmm.
So beyond Friedman, of course, it was in 2008, Carolyn Lucas, actually with two former directors of Friends of the Earth. And you were a member of Friends of the Earth.
I am a member of Friends of the Earth. It was, I think, the first people in Britain were Larry Elliott, who's the economics editor of The Guardian. They formed the Green New Deal group, which included Carolyn Lucas, Clive Lewis, who's a Labour MP and who ran for Labour leader,
mm-hmm.
Charles Secret from Friends of the Earth, Andrew Sims from the new Weather Institute. We ought to bear in mind that it was considered by Obama and it was considered by Gordon Brown, but neither of them went for a Green New Deal.
And of course, 2008, that was after the banking crisis.
But by that time, it wasn't fully thought through. People hadn't really thought through everything and how much things would cost.
But what I see in the more larger perspective is that from the banking crisis, of course, there was a renewed momentum in understanding that we could actually move into a different kind of economy whilst we move out of the crisis. And of course, it didn't take. So we can ask ourselves, you know, we knew we needed to reboot the economy in a different manner. We knew it was not sustainable. But somehow the powers that be, you know, whether it's policymakers, you know, business cultures, it didn't take. And the ecological, so the environmental issues didn't take, but also the economic change didn't take.
Well, that's really from our point of view, that was because the election in 2010 was hijacked by the Conservatives, by a big hoax of the Conservative Party that all the people were going to stop lending us money and we were not, you know, nobody was going to consider us a good country to lend money to. We'd lose our A triple star rating and all that sort of thing. And then they just followed through, as we know, their whole austerity program. And austerity is the opposite of a Green New Deal.
Mm-hmm.
and it's just gives the money, all the money, as we all realize now, all the money just kept on being given to those people who already had it, and money was being taken away from people who didn't have very much money. So it was the complete opposite of what was required.
And of course, what we weren't so much aware of, but, you know, something that we know now quite well, is that even at that time, the global companies that had a stake and an interest to keep on investing in carbon types of industries, you know, like the oil industry, there was a concerted effort to lobby the government to not put in any kind of incentives, whether it's tax-based or whether it's environmental legislation, that would reduce their ability to make a profit. Yeah. And of course, I think that's where probably various governments were too conservative. You know, I do remember, and I've got it actually in front of me, you know, that a cartoon from 2012, Climate Summit, basically says energy independence, preserve rainforest, sustainability, green jobs, livable cities, renewable clean water, you know, da 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 da. And then one of the participants in that conference says,
white man.
White, yes.
With an angry expression.
What if it's a big hoax and we create a better world for nothing? Mm. And it just seems to express the situation, you know, which we're now in this situation where I just don't understand, how did we get here?
How come people have been so stupid?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yes, I suppose you're right. It's hard to bear in mind, but I think it's because of people not really discussing it, not really discussing the climate, just running away and not talking about it. It's leaders not talking about it because they don't understand it. They want to stay, you know, every party has leaders who don't, they'll say a little bit about climate change, but they know that if they say very much more, then it'll be exposed that they don't know an awful lot about it. The leaders aren't necessarily supposed to be the experts on climate, but they ought to have people who are experts on climate who can give them some advice and this, that and the other.
Mm.
So it's thought to be much more important that leaders understand monetary flows than that they understand the climate.
So when we look at it historically, you know, we've mentioned Friedman in 2007 and then Kaunen Lucas and the Green New Deal group in Britain in 2008, which we can be actually quite proud of. And then there began to be an understanding that there had to be a sort of global governance in relation to the environment, and the United Nations Environment Programme began to promote it in 2008. So that's actually quite late. And then it took until probably in the last, you know, 5 years to really start seeing some policy work, you know, including, of course, in the US, the AOC Green No Deal. But we also see in Australia.
But again, the Green Party had done a lot more before the AOC Green New Deal.
Yeah,
you know, they had
New
Deal.
Absolutely.
Fully, they had a good idea in 2012 and they actually had that as part of their policy, whereas the Democrats still don't have a Green New Deal as being their policy yet.
Yeah. Well, in 2008, the group that we mentioned, that was the Green New Deal group.
Yeah.
It was called a Green New Deal report.
Yeah.
Asking for a Green New Deal as a way out of the global financial crisis. And of course, it comes back to this notion of that we talked about before. So this is not just about, well, it is also about saving the environment, but it's saying that you need social justice and environmental justice working together in order for us to save the planet. And
But again, in 2008, that was a bunch of eight or nine people.
But it takes like 10 years for an idea to start influencing policy. And I think, you know, we've seen that then with AOC's deal.
Sometimes it takes a long time, but and you try and think it through. But, you know, Brexit, for example, that took 30 years, but there was no evidence for Brexit whatsoever. Whereas the Green New Deal, it's patently obvious. It's really, really important and has to be done. And still it's not being adopted by, well, and now quite a lot is going to be done by the EU.
Yeah.
But we've still got to adopt it.
Coming back to this notion of that, I find that actually quite late. Knowing the history of the green movement, the green, you know, policies. So there has been, of course, you know, the concepts around an environmentally sound economy or sustainable economy has been around, you know, whether you use terms like the green economy, you know, we've talked about the Green New Deal, or a low carbon economy, sustainability, eco-commerce, environmental economics, you know, these things have been around for quite a bit. And even if you then look at the history of the Green parties, which were, you know, the biggest effort in understanding how society should be structured in order to live sustainable, you know, we see that that movement is actually much older than, you know, it didn't start in 2007 with Friedland saying a Green New Deal. You know, we've got, you know, the first type of Green Party emerging in 1970 in Netherlands, then in Australia, New Zealand in 1972. Then actually, of course, the first European Green Party was the People Party in the UK in 1972.
Yeah, but that's not the Green New Deal.
Yeah, absolutely. But the thinking about how to restructure society, it comes out of the Green Movement.
Yeah.
Yeah. In 1980, Germany and the German Green Party, you know, wasn't the first Green Party to have members elected nationally, but they attracted the most attention. And of course, they were quite successful. So it's quite often considered to be one of the biggest. But, you know, how would you say that is differentiated from what we then perceive to be the Green New Deal? What is different with the Green New Deals that we see now in the last 5 years and the policies that these Green parties have put forward?
Because the Green parties' ideas are not mainstream political parties' ideas, then they have to prove everything left, right and center. And so that was where, that was part of, with the Green New Deal, again, the idea of a Green New Deal is a fantastic thing. And it's something that people could get on board with straight away. So in America, for example, there was a survey of the Green New Deal in 2018, I think, and apparently only 12%, yeah, Yale program on climate change communication found that 82% of voters had not heard of the Green New Deal. This was in December 2018. But after they were given a non-partisan description of the Green New Deal, 40% strongly supported it and 41% somewhat supported the idea of a Green New Deal. So that was a huge amount of people backing the idea of it without specific policies and without, you know, a definite this is what we're going to do exactly or a definite kind of plan. And it's very hard to have a definite plan because you don't know exactly how things are going to go. You don't know quite how the public are going to take to this or that or the other policy. And you might have to change things all the way along. So it's very hard to come up with a concrete, fully blown proposal. But that's what people have been trying to do because they can't make any gain against this ridiculous right-wing rhetoric of keeping going as things are.
So what you're also saying is that it took until 2018 elections in the US and then in 2019, you know, the Labour Party adopted a Green New Deal. And then, of course, the Green Party had a very specific Green New Deal calculated with numbers for their manifesto.
Yeah, the Labour Party had a fairly calculated.
So you're saying that those calculations were, you know, that was the first time in history where we have a critical mass of Green New Deals that are based on sound calculations.
Yeah. You know, it's been more thought through now than ever before.
But is there also another shift going on? Are we actually seeing that what might be perceived to be a Green New Deal has shifted over time? So until, let's say, 2007, most Green New Deals, and even Friedland's sort of suggestion himself in his initial 2007 article, focused almost solely on the environment. So the Green parties at that time were rather focusing only on the environment, whereas, of course, the more modern Green New Deals really look at more broad societal or governmental changes, looking at income distribution, looking at social justice as part of changing the economy to a more sustainable economy.
Yeah. But yeah, it seems like it's the kind of London-based Green New Deal group who thought, well, we need to tie everything in together. And if we need renewables, gosh, we're going to have loads of engineers, loads of people to build wind turbines. You know, we're going to have to an economy of building wind turbines. We're going to have an economy of putting these wind turbines into the sea around Britain. We're going to have an economy of developing them. It's not just research and development. It's, yes, we're just going to go for it and do the whole thing.
It means that where the jobs are will shift in order to make ourselves more sustainable.
And not just that. really, you need to take people from jobs that they're in at the moment. The Green Party has calculated we'd need at least 1 million people retrofitting homes. Mm. And we don't have 1 million people who could retrofit homes at the moment. So you've got to train all those people to do that job.
So I think it's not a positive note to end on.
I was just thinking, we didn't really go into, Europe's done a lot, European Green Parties have done a lot of thinking about and pushing forward with a Green New Deal or the idea of a Green New Deal. And then it sort of went back to the US for elections.
Yeah. And of course, we're going to go into the separate Green New Deals episode by episode.
We are going to do a few different types, aren't we?
Yeah. And that allows us also to understand, you know, as we said, you know, it's like wine, you know, there might be some which have more social justice, some which have less social justice. There might be some which are more aspirational.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there might be also a struggle between more purists who want to only focus on the environment. But that might be quite interesting to look at. You know, are there these differentiations in various Green New Deals in relation to how much social justice is actually included in them?
Hmm.
So. Shall we leave it at that?
Yeah.
It gives a nice intro into the whole subject matter. And we'll probably refer back to Friedland and AOC and Karen Lucas and Labour Party's Green Party as we go along.
Mm-hmm.
And also European Green New Deal.
Yep. And it's the Green Deal with Europe because we didn't have a New Deal in the first place.
The European Green Deal.
Yeah. So it's not a Green New Deal.
So if you enjoyed the show, please do leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player. Please do subscribe because we will now drop every 2 weeks another episode.
Yes, that's right.
Feel free to follow us on Twitter on Dithering on the Edge, @DitheringE. Goodbye for now.
Bye, everybody.
And have a fabulous week.
Don't bother with the buts.
You know, suddenly it goes horribly wrong just because I changed
it. You didn't think about it enough.
Okay. Just put... But feel on the edge of.
Or living in the UK on the edge of.
And on the edge of.
It doesn't have to be and. You know, and sounds like you can live in the UK and not be on the edge of Europe. And living in the UK and in outer space. Sorry. You can cut that bit out.
I haven't cut that out.